So tonight we're looking at John chapter 7. We're actually going verse 7:1 to verse 8:1. And the reason for that is because the verses and the chapters and all this were all added later. When these books, every book in the Bible, when it was written, it was just written. Didn't have verses. But later people decided they needed to versify it. They needed to chapterize it. All this kind of stuff. So you could just go right where you wanted. And you could memorize just what you wanted to. And forget the stuff you didn't like. But verse 8:1 actually sort of, and you'll explain this in a minute, sort of belongs with chapter 7, verse, the very last verse, because you'll see that they do go together. Now, we may do those two again next week to start up the 8th, because we're going to have a very good story that most people today believe got added later and may or may not actually be true, but be that as it may, we'll talk about it later. So, right now, we're going to look at chapter 7, starting with verse 1. There we go. After this, Jesus traveled in Galilee, since he didn't want to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. Sounds like a plan to me. The Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near. So his brother said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea so your disciples can see your works that you're doing. For no one does anything in secret while he's seeking public recognition. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus told them, "My time has not yet arrived, but your time is always at hand. The world cannot hate you, but it does hate me because I testify about it that its deeds are evil. Go up to the festival yourselves. I'm not going up to the festival yet because my time has not yet fully come." After he had said these things, he stayed in Galilee. After his brothers had gone up to the festival, then he also went up, not openly, but secretly. And why they say up, I don't know, because you'd had to go south and all this. But people in Vermont always refer to going to Maine as going up, or no, as going down Maine. Well, Maine's up, but at any rate, that's apparently the way that they talked at that time. So, stayed in Galilee. After his brother gone up to the festival, he also went up, but not openly, but secretly. The Jews were looking for him at the festival and saying, "Where is he?" And there was a lot of discussion about him among the crowds. Some were saying, "He's a good man." Others were saying, "No, on the contrary, he's deceiving the people." Still, nobody was talking publicly about him because they feared the Jews. When the festival was already half over, Jesus went up into the temple complex and began to teach. Then the Jews were amazed and said, "How does he know the scriptures since he hasn't been trained?" Jesus answered them, "My teaching isn't mine, but it's from the one who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he will understand whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own. The one who speaks for himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Didn't Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you want to kill me?" "You have a demon," the crowd responded. "Who wants to kill you? I did one work, and you're all amazed." Jesus answered, "Consider this. Moses has given you circumcision, not that it comes from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses won't be broken. Are you angry at me because I made a man entirely well on the Sabbath? Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather, judge according to righteous judgment. Some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, isn't this the man they want to kill? Look, he's speaking publicly, and they're saying nothing to him. Can it be true that the authorities know he's the Messiah? But we know where this man's from. When the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he's from. As he was teaching in the temple complex, Jesus cried out, you know me, and you know where I'm from. Yet, I have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true. You don't know him. I know him because I'm from him, and he sent me. Then they tried to seize him, yet no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. However, many from the crowd believed in him and said, when the Messiah comes, he won't perform more signs than this man has done, will he? The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, so the chief priests and the Pharisees sent the temple police to arrest him. Then Jesus said, I'm only with you for a short time. Then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you won't find me. And where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does he intend to go so we won't find him? He doesn't intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, does he? What is this remark he made? You will look for me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone's thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been received because Jesus had not yet been glorified. When some from the crowd heard these words, they said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But some said, surely the Messiah doesn't come from Galilee, does he? Doesn't the scripture say the Messiah comes from David's offspring and from the town of Bethlehem, where David once lived? So a division occurred among the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the temple police came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, Why haven't you brought him? The police answered, no one ever spoke like this. Then the Pharisees responded, are you fooled too? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which doesn't know the law, is accursed. Nicodemus, the one who came to him previously, being one of them, said to them, our law doesn't judge a man before it hears from him and knows what he's doing, does it? You aren't from Galilee too, are you? They replied. Investigate, and you will see that no prophet arises from Galilee. So each one went to his house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Go with us in all we do. Make us your people. Help us to understand you and to understand what your word says so that we can spread it to others. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as it starts out, it says that he was staying in the north in Galilee for his safety, because, as you can see from the parts at the end, they were actually trying to kill him. They would try to come and take him. They would do whatever they could, and they were going to try. And, of course, in the end, we know they got him. But it wasn't the time right now. We assume this was approximately 6 months after the last chapter, because the last chapter was around Passover. This one is around Sukkot, which is in the fall, generally end of October, beginning of November. One of the interesting things is that the Jewish calendar kind of shifts around. because they reset anytime certain events happen. Like when the first wheat opens, boom. That's the date of a particular event. And so they reset to that. That's what day it is, whether it's been everything else or whatever, or hasn't got there or has already passed it. Nope, that's the day now. So they go on. But at any rate, Sukkot is one of three mandatory feasts. God said in the Old Testament, there are three times all males of the nation of Israel must appear before me. One is Passover. One is the Day of Atonement. Now, interestingly enough, Yom Kippur, which is the Feast of Trumpets, is not mandatory. But it is what prepares for Rosh Hashanah, which is the Day of Atonement. Therefore, most Jews associate them together, that they would be the same. But the actual thing is the Day of Atonement is when you have to be there. And the other one is Sukkot. Now, Sukkot is an interesting thing. The Jews go out and they take leaves and boughs from trees. And for the first day, they go out and they build this shelter for themselves in their backyard or their front yard or upon the roofs or whatever they can do. And then they live in it for 7 days. But on the seventh day is the big day, because Sukkot is celebrating the fact that they had lived all those years in tents. They referred to it as booths, lived in booths, but it was actually tents. And then they came into the Promised Land. Well, that's why they said that last day, and once again, it would be the eighth day. You start one day, go seven, and then there's another day that is your special holiday. And it was mandatory. You had to be there. Now, you didn't have to be there the whole time, but you had to be there on that last day. And so he didn't go for all of Sukkot, but he was there. He got there just before that last day, and he was there on the last day to give his great teachings. Now, Jesus' brothers did not believe. These are children of Joseph and Mary that came after Jesus. I had a friend named Rick Unsworth who almost gave a little Catholic brother a stroke, because when he was trying to explain to us that Jesus was the only child that Mary ever had, he looks over and figures, oh, well, you know, these pagans, I'll get them with something they'll understand. If you were the husband and you knew that this child had come from God, would you have sex with her? And Rick says, oh, yes. If it's good enough for God, it must be good enough for me. And this guy almost wrecked a car. He was just going, he's ducking lightning bolts. He figures that's it for us. Rick was a little bit sacrilegious, but that's okay, because he got it. You know, Jesus was a common guy with the common people. But these were the children that Joseph and Mary had after Jesus was born. It says he was their firstborn. It doesn't say he was their only born. So they're telling him this is the best time to come out as the Messiah. You need to come out in the midst of a festival and tell everybody that you're the Messiah. You need to really put on a show. You need to let the people in Jerusalem see your works so that they know who you are and they know, you know, what you're teaching. Now, what they figured was he would go and he would not be able to do what he said. They wouldn't buy into what he was saying, and he'd get knocked down a peg, and then they'd say, see, we told you so. Didn't work that way. They actually wanted to expose him. Jesus says he's not going to go because it's not his time yet. So he didn't go yet at the beginning. Then later, he goes secretly to the festival. And as he walks around, he hears great discussion about him, because back in Passover, they had had all of this flail about him and everything. And so they are talking about this guy who's the great teacher. And once again, it's kind of like what we're seeing politically nowadays. You can take whichever side you want, but the bottom line is, one side will tell you all about the other side, and it may or may not actually be accurate. Okay? And so some people were saying, oh no, he's a terrible person. He's got to be a terrible person because the religious leaders don't believe in him. Okay? To which we see, once again, in political circles around us now, so-and-so has supported this person. Therefore, he must be a good guy because I believe this person is a good person. Then again, there's a bunch of people that think certain people are good people, and it doesn't really work out that way. But there's a great discussion of him. And so they're saying, is he the real deal or is he a scam artist? What's going on here? And they have all of these reasons for both sides. Everybody's got a reason. Now, you'll notice that some of what they brought forward as reasons is wrong. That's just not what they're basing it on, isn't true. He wasn't born in Nazareth. He's living there now, but he wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, exactly where he was supposed to be. They said he should be born in Bethlehem. Guess what? He was. So, very interesting. First 3 days that he was there, he was not recognized. Nobody knew who he was, and he was able to go around and listen. Then he began to teach. He began to talk about things that were going on, and he began to correct misconceptions. Now, one of the things that we see about Jesus when he's doing these corrections is he's not going, oh, you're a terrible person. It's, you're mistaken. Okay? The scripture actually says, have you thought about this scripture? Okay? What about this? And he's trying to lead them into the truth of God, which is why the common people loved him. Because the 608 freaking commandments that the religious leaders come up with, Jesus just said, no, that's not what God cares about. He wants you to love God and love your neighbor. That's it. So the leaders were amazed because he was not trained. This guy hasn't been to seminary. What the heck's the matter with him? Okay? You would be amazed at how many people in Puget Sound Baptist Association say that behind the scenes about me. Well, I haven't been to seminary, but I was trained by one of the greatest theologians that ever walked the face of the earth, Walter B. Fletcher Jr. Okay? He got that way, and actually got me to get that way, by studying the Word of God. Something would come up and we would have all this. And when I was young, you know, young people are like that. When I was young, I would always look at things and I would say, oh, but I read and oh, so-and-so said and what. And my dad would say, what's the Bible say? And then he'd fire off a scripture reference. He always had just that reference. Okay. When the Mormons looked really good to me because of the way that they were explaining things. And let me tell you, the Mormons will fool you if you don't know the Word. That's why you need to know the Word of God. And Graham Lotz always said, the Secret Service does not study counterfeit. They study the real deal, so they can see anything that diverges from the real deal. Okay? But when the Mormons thought they had me straightened out, he just started coming up, well, what about this? What about this? And I would do just what they're doing in here. Oh, but they showed me, what about this? What about this? And he'd go somewhere else and he'd explain it to me. And by the time it was all done. Now, the wonderful thing about that was, that's when I was in high school. I got out of high school and I was in college, and my kid's sister had a friend who was Jehovah's Witnesses. And she was driving Linda crazy. Linda come home in tears. Oh, I've been so screwed up. Well, what about it? Well, let me show you. And so then after I explained it to her, oh, now she's all happy. She goes back and she tells her little friend. And then the next day she comes home crying again. Oh, this is what little friend said. Let's look at the book. And so I tell, she goes back and she tells her little friend. And the next day she comes home and she's chuckling. And she says, this is what she told me. What am I going to tell her back? I've already figured out that she's not going to win this deal, right? So I told her. Well, the next day, the father of this little girl comes over. And my dad had not gotten home yet. Wasn't long, but he had not gotten home yet. So this guy comes in, and he starts just giving me heck. And I'm sitting here going through the Bible. Well, that's your version of the Bible. That's not the Watchtower edition. That's me. I said, okay, well, where does it say in the Watchtower edition? And so we go in, look at, and it turns out the Watchtower edition said the same thing for most of it. The places it diverges is just crazy stuff that they do. So he's getting mad. He's going on and on. And my dad gets home. And I'm thinking, buddy, you're in it deep now.
My dad
comes in, and I mean, when that guy left, he was a streak. He was getting out of there because my dad had ripped him a new one, all with the Word of God, because he knew it. Okay? But the leaders were amazed because Jesus was not trained. And Jesus said, I've been trained by my Father. I've been trained by the person who sent me. Therefore, I'm teaching you what he taught me. He knew their hearts. He knew they didn't want to hear it. They are intentionally not believing. Not failing to believe because they didn't understand. They didn't want to believe, and they had determined they were not going to believe. He knew their hearts. So he said they want to kill him because he healed on the Sabbath. Now, they have a regulation in Jewishness, and it's still today, that when a baby is born, a male baby is born, boom, you mark 8 days, okay? And it's the same thing that we did before. The 7 days, and then the day after that, the eighth day, is the day that's something special. Well, if it falls on a Saturday, they go in, they have a circumcision, and nobody worries about it. Now, one of the most interesting things is that they will sit here and they will tell you that pastors don't work because all they do is show up on Sunday and preach. Okay, that's not working. Now, they don't seem to understand that there's a lot more to it, which rabbis ought to understand because they do much the same thing that a pastor does during the week. But if you're a Jewish cantor or rabbi, and they have several offices, you're working harder on a Sabbath, on their Saturday, than most people work in the other days of the week. But they think, oh, that's not work. That's fulfilling God's requirements. Okay? So Jesus said, you circumcise on the Sabbath. And so why... Well, the people knew of the plan to kill him. You see it later when they said, why do they want to kill him? They all knew that the religious leaders wanted to kill him. And then they said, is he the Messiah or is he a deceiver? And then it says, there were those who did believe. And so it comes to the very end of the feast. And he calls the people to him. And they all sit here and they go say the same thing they've been doing a long time. Who is this guy? Okay? He's calling us in, and literally this was a Sabbath. The last day of the feast is a Sabbath. And I've explained this before about why you could not have Good Friday, because if Good Friday was, in fact, well, the way that the Catholics thought of it was that when the sun went down, it became Saturday, and that was going to be Passover. Well, that would have meant that Passover was falling on a Sabbath. That is specifically forbidden. You can't do it. Once again, not in our Bible, but in the Talmud and in our little things that they put in. But at any rate, the last day of Sukkot is a Sabbath. It is a holy day set aside to the Lord. So they're going, who is this guy? Why is he calling us together on this end of the feast? What's he got to say? And then somebody says, well, I think he may be the Messiah. And then they said, but he's from Nazareth. And just like Philip said, can any good come out of Nazareth? And, you know, so...
He said he was from Galilee.
Well, yeah, okay, but he meant he's from up north is what it is, and I've said that my entire life. Is anything good come out of the north? You know, you'd never know I was a southerner, would you? But at any rate, they don't understand that he had actually been born in Bethlehem, and one of them, like I said, actually says, well, no, Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. They just didn't know. They had incorrect information, or you might say incomplete information. And so, what does all of this mean for us? Well, first of all, everything must be done in order. Go down there and show everybody and do your signs and they'll all believe you. It's not the right time. So everything has to be done in order. Remember, as Tom Skinner said, all truth is God's truth, no matter who says it. He actually said this at an Urbana conference when somebody had said, well, this was a statement made by Dick Gregory. For those of you who are not familiar with the 60s radicals, Dick Gregory was a 60s radical who got saved and then went on to say many very brilliant spiritual things. And one of the reasons, probably, was because truth is only revealed by the Spirit. And they said here in the Scripture, many people weren't understanding because the Spirit had not been given yet. When the Spirit came, all of a sudden, the light came on. Jewish people say, Gevalt! Ah! But at any rate, I have no idea what that is. Maybe a naughty word. But at any rate, truth is only revealed by the Spirit. When the Spirit reveals something to you, you probably want to write it down. You probably want to remember this forever because that's gold. And we have to remember that sometimes we don't have all the facts. Sometimes we're thinking, well, this can't be right. because we don't have all the facts. Now, we're coming into a season which is very political, so I have to step lightly with this. I won't get into political parties. I think most people know where I stand on all that kind of stuff. Though I must tell you, there were a number of places on the little primary ballot that I actually marked the Libertarian because they were better than either one of the major parties. But be that as it may, don't listen to people. Go out and find the information yourself. Figure out what are the important issues and then burrow in so you get past lies and you find out what does this person actually believe. Is this a person who says, oh, you know, I don't believe in abortion, and then works to keep it available? Is this a person who says, oh, you know, I don't want to shut down churches and make it hard to be religious? I don't want to force a cake baker to violate his own beliefs in making a cake because, you know, he has a right to say, no, this is my belief and I'm not going to violate it. Watch that. Study that. Decide who to vote for, not based on a popularity contest, but on truth. I once heard a pastor, very special pastor, say that you should not vote as a popularity contest. You should vote according to the Word of God. Sometimes that's hard because there's things that you say, where does it talk about that? Well, if it seems really important to you about, I want to vote in accordance with the Word of God, come ask me. If I can't figure it out, I'll go figure it out. And as I've told everybody, I love studying the Word of God. So if you can give me a question that I have to go study, I'm going to have a great deal of fun. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to remember to do things in order. Help us to remember that the Word of God is our standard. And help us to ask the Spirit which direction we should go in any case. And guide us towards the facts that we need to make decisions that bring glory to you. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.
I do have a question.